Hello, welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltori, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. My YouTube channel features a lot of different things, but right now I've been focusing on a subject near and dear to my heart, the subject of Nephi Jawa, the King's Daughters. There are over 700 of them, and over the course of the last almost a year, I have been examining the biographies of these amazing women and taking each one of them and kind of getting to know, traveling their route from France to New France and getting to know them and their families and any kind of situations that they might have encountered. It's been a wonderful journey. We're on episode number 61. For those of you who are just joining me now, you can go into the YouTube channel and look at the playlist, and it will kind of give you who I've featured so far. And if you have any suggestions about Fijowa, please let me know in the comments below. I have a website, Have Roots Will Travel, and I also have Facebook, Have Roots Will Travel, and Twitter. I would also urge you to write to me at lisa@haverootswilltravel.com. And don't forget to subscribe and click on the notifications alert so you get the notice when I post new content, which at the moment, as I speak this, it's about twice a week. All right, let's get started. Regular viewers to the channel know that I have produced a video called the Fijowa, the Program 2.0. It's in the playlist. Have a look at it. It gives you the ins and outs of the program, kind of gives you a bird's eye view of what your Fijowa, your ancestor, would have gone through in order to arrive at New France. It was quite an ordeal, and it was certainly a big risk for them to have taken. So I would urge you to have a look at that to get a little bit more perspective on your particular grandmother. Now, let's have a look at who we're going to feature today. Wow, her name is Marie Berba. Isn't that a nice name? I have never seen her in any of my files, but a viewer requested her, and here she is. So we're going to get to know Marie a little bit. Let's get started. So Marie was born in 1639 in the parish of Saint-Remy in Dieppe, Normandy. Her parents were Alexandre Berbin and Marie Lenoble. The church where Marie would probably have been baptized was built after 1522, replacing the 13th century one. Dieppe is a city on the sea with its beginnings in 1030. It was a true jewel in the crown of both France and England with its strategic locations. Many famous explorers and cartographers have come from this area. It's renowned for its seafood, notably scallops. Throughout the Protestant Wars of the Middle Ages, many Protestants, known as Huguenots, left from Dieppe to escape persecution and make new lives in the Americas. Do we know if Marie Berbin was one of them? We do not. Normally, you would have seen a conversion. I have seen them a few in my files where they converted to Catholicism because you couldn't be living in New France unless you were Catholic. So you had to convert, and they allowed for that. So Marie would have left for New France in 1666 with a dowry of about £200. That's all we know. I don't know the ship she came in. That 1666 year still escapes me. Knowing, what was the name of the ship is something I'm still looking for. So let's see who she found when she got to New France. Who did she select? So the groom that she selected and selected her, his name was Jean de Lalonde dit l'Espérance. And he was born in 1641 in the parish of Notre-Dame in Le Havre, France. His parents were Philippe Lalonde and Jeanne Duval. And he was, the church where he would have been baptized was Le Havre Cathedral, and it was previously a parish church dating from the 16th and 17th century, and it's the oldest and one of the very few buildings in central Le Havre to have survived the devastation of World War II. And so it's just interesting. The bell tower dates from around 1520, and the main facade is Baroque. The building was kept unusually low because of the difficulties posed by the unstable ground. So this is, you know, this kind of gives you an idea, but Le Havre was really, really, you know, destroyed during World War II. There's no question about it. The name Le Havre means the harbor or the port. The city and the port were founded by King Francis I in 1517. Economic development in the early modern period was hampered by religious wars, conflicts with the English, epidemics, and storms. I'm telling you, this place has a lot of history. But it finally started growing. And unfortunately, one of the reasons it started with the slave trade, and then fortunately, other international trade began in the 18th century. So this kind of kept it going. So how does Jean come to New France? From what I've been able to research, Jean arrived in New France with the Compagnie Montée on the ship Le Brise in June of 1665. After his service in the militia, he would become a plowman and church warden for the Eau de Lille mission. So really, you know, an ambitious kind of guy. This is a remarkable piece of information about Jean. He tried to marry a fille du roi three times. 1667, each of these are contracts that were annulled. So Françoise Avril would then go on to marry twice in New France, but she didn't leave any descendants. Marie Poiré would go on to marry Jean Hardy. So, and then Pierrette Vallant would not marry. So these are three ladies that he tried to marry. So the fourth time was the charm. So we do not have a contract. We have, you know, we have the essence of it. We, you know, all the facts of it. Marie Barin, it's spelled Balin in this case. Remember, please, when you're doing research, do not get hung up in the spelling. And this is where we find out who their parents were and all of that good stuff. So we don't know where they were married. It's lieu indéterminé. That's what that means. And it means we don't know. The location is, you know. And we know, however, that it was on the 14th of November, 1669. So we know. Now, that means that she would have arrived here in 1666 and spent about 3 years, probably as a servant, domestic. And so that is definitely an unusual turn of events, but she was, you know, obviously she came across, she was waiting for the guy. So we'll see how they build their lives. So Jean, an incredible guy, and he was a man on the move, okay? Jean was at the Seigneurie of Lanoraie working in 1669. He obtains land at that same seigneurie. In 1673, he sells his land. And then by 1675, he begins work at Il Perro, but has a change of heart because he's not in agreement with what the seigneur was doing. He just he's a man of morals, and he just doesn't feel right about what the man is doing. In 1675, he returns to Ville-Marie, Montreal. And then by 1677, he obtains land that will become Baie d'Urfé. So let's have a look. So we can see Baie d'Urfé here, the Île Perrot. We have Verdun, he lived for a time, the island of Montreal, Lanoraie. So they were just moving all around. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Marie is like, okay, let's go. So Baie d'Urfé is an actual town in Quebec. It is the beginnings of it were from 1663 when it was acquired by the Sulpician order, and they assumed the responsibility for the civil management as well as religious. The order granted tracts of land westward both for reasons of settlement and protection. The parish of Lachine was created in 1676, and then later the parish of Saint-Louis, Pointe-Saint-Louis, Macaron Point was chosen as the focal point and site of the new church. In 1685, the Bishop of Quebec toured the new parish, accompanied by Jean de Lalonde, who was the first settler. Okay, this is how important Jean de Lalonde is. He was the first settler, and he was also a church warden. Remember that moral disagreement he had with one of the Monsignors. François Sartoret Lascaret d'Urfé, he was of noble French lineage, was appointed priest to the parish. Now let's have a look at the family they created. Their first son, Jean, dies at 3 years of age. Marie-Madeleine marries Guillaume Daou and has 9 children, 5 of whom reach adulthood. Jean-Baptiste married Marguerite Masta, with whom he had 1 child who grew to adulthood. He then married Jeanne Gervais and had 8 children, 7 of whom reached adulthood. Their second Jean died also at 3 years of age. Guillaume would marry Madeleine Allen and would have 12 children, 10 of whom would reach adulthood. So their lives, I mean, obviously Jean Lalonde de Lalonde was a pioneer and was busy building a land, building this community. And in 1688, they were killed as they defended their land from the Iroquois near the Lake Saint-Louis. A life truly tragically cut short. So Jean would be buried on the 30th of September in the Saint-Ange Gardier Cemetery at Lachine. By 1866, almost 200 years later, the bodies from this cemetery were transferred to the Saint-Anne de Bellevue Church. So up on the top is the actual remnants of the Saint-Ange Gardier Cemetery. And then we have the actual death record where it lists what happened to him. And then we have the Cimetière de Saint-Anne de Bellevue, where he is now interred. So now, out of necessity, you know, a new husband. And this is truly a necessity because she has, you know, got all these children and she has to take care of them. And she has the land that he built and all of that good, you know, all of that. And it's just a shock. I mean, can you imagine? You're kind of scared because the Indians are coming and you are alone with 5 children. So Pierre Tabour was born in 1645 in Trignas-Saint-Ange. He arrived in New France in approximately 1665 with the Carignan Seigneur. So he was a soldier as well, and that's probably how she knew him. You can see where Trignac is on the map. Let's have a look at what happens to this new couple. So they were married in January of 1688, less than 5 months after Jean was killed. Again, you know, 5 months is a very short amount of time. And most notably, remember that she still had 1 child that was a minor. And a woman could have her child removed from her unless there was a guardian of some kind appointed. And typically women, and this applied not only in New France, but also America as well, and we see that a lot. She would have to have be appointed as a guardian or a sub-guardian or a co-guardian to her children, or else she would risk losing the rights to them. And so it is possible that that was the reason for the marriage, because shortly, less than a year later, Marie had filed for separation from Pierre. No matter what she might have needed, it was clear that she did not want to live with him. She bravely took on the world and declared her independent. I just think this is remarkable. Through the documents we do have, it became clear that she knew the value of her land that had been left to her, and she worked hard to have Guillaume get the best education at the seminary in Montreal. So just amazing, you know, amazing place that, an amazing period of, you know, of her life, that she would have done this to get to make sure she wasn't, you know, removed from her children. And then eventually she creates, I don't think she ever divorced him, but they basically separated. And then she went on to carry on with her own life. While we do not have a death date for Marie, we do know that she was alive when Guillaume would marry in 1710. In Baie d'Urfé today, there's a monument to Jean de Lalonde that was erected by the Association of Lalondes in 1990. There's an excellent website of the Lalonde family. I don't know if they keep it up to date, but there must be enough information there for you. And you can also find some cousins there as well as, you know, when you roam around. I've included the website address in the notes below. So Marie Balbal was a remarkable one for many reasons, not the least of which, you know, she's the first woman that I have studied that actually separated from her husband. She couldn't divorce because it's Catholic. But the fact that she stood her ground just amazes me. And the fact, I mean, she lost her husband in an Indian, you know, attack. I mean, the violence of that, just overwhelming. And don't forget, she arrived in New France in 1666. She waited at least 3 years until she got, you know, found a husband. So all of that shows me that she was a very independent, very strong-willed woman. And for that, we thank her and her contribution to New France. And with that, I bid you adieu and au revoir until episode number 62.